You're listening to RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Paprad with the two little orphans that have been abandoned by the man who's running around the Olympic ring trying to find his way back to Poprad. So let's start with something which I think will interest you, Mark, and you might have something to say. France declares war on illegal immigrants. What about that then?
Well, yeah, this is a very, very sorry story that's come to light recently. And it's about this community of people who are Roma, which basically means that they're mainly from Romania. And their culture is, if you like, sort of a traveling culture. I think that we've starting to find lots and lots of communities probably in different places in Europe now, but I don't know why. Maybe other European countries are in a sort of similar situation, but France seems to have taken a particular dislike to them, and they've now decided to turn their attention upon some camps. Really, these are sort of areas where Roma are living in community, and basically they're chucking them up. They're destroying their camps. I mean, we saw this kind of thing, I suppose, say in Lesotho in the South Africa in the 1970s, and I don't think it's sort of very far removed from that.
Don't forget, we
have problems with gypsies and gypsy encampments and so forth, and I find that sort of very difficult as well here, but in the United Kingdom. So I don't want to say that we're squeaky clean, but the first of all is that the French are breaking up these camps, and then they're trying to basically put people on airplanes and ship them off back to Romania. It must be, you know, tremendously traumatic thing for people, and they're doing it on the basis they say that the camps are insanitary, they're not sanitary, and that they're causing a health risk. I really wonder whether that's true.
I don't think it's true at all.
The French have got a massive reputation for this sort of kind of racist or culture, okay, we'll put it mildly, cultural intolerance. I remember about it. Well, that's very kind of you. About 3 or 4 years ago, there was a bit of a scandal because it was discovered down in the southwest in the train services there, some bright spark had come up with the idea of printing posters and putting posters up in the train saying, "Beware, Roma people have been seen traveling on these trains. Roma people are very often thieves. If you see any Roma people on this train, please report it to the controller immediately so the appropriate action can be taken."
This is as bad as Hitler,
okay? Yeah. And I mean, don't forget, you're talking about a country here which, unfortunately, and maybe this is one of the reasons why the French don't have this kind of national pride that other countries have. France really didn't fight, if you like, the occupation. It succumbed and submitted, I would say, to an occupation. It really involved itself quite thoroughly. I mean, it immersed itself in the deportation of the Jews. France, there are something like 49 concentration camps. Most people don't know that, which were used as concentration camps all around the country. In fact, where I live in France, in Paris, we're only 10 kilometers away from the major one, which is called Drancy, which, of course, is hardly recognized. I mean, the French have never knowingly apologized to the Jewish communities and so forth. They had something like 75,000 Jewish men, women, and children were basically taken up to Drancy and eventually shipped off to various elimination camps in Poland or in Germany. So, France really has got its hands dirty there. And it's really quite amazing, whereas one gets the impression that, for instance, in Germany and in Poland, they really do what they can to, if you like, sort of cleanse themselves on it, to distance themselves from it, and to take a completely different approach. This is not noticeable with the French, and I really don't know why. I mean, you also have to realize that, there have recently been elections where the right wing, the National Front Party, which says that it doesn't agree with Jewish deportation anymore, and it's not so much Jewish deportation anymore, but we're talking about Muslim immigration, anti-immigration policies. They say that that's not really their central core, but I think very few people believe it. And in the previous general election, in the first round of election, the National Front Party made 40% of the vote. Can you imagine? 40%.
I can. It's a funny thing. Racism, I have not, as I've said before on the show, a racist bone in my body. I defend. I don't particularly like the human race, but I'm not racist against sections of it. But I defend to the hilt the right for people to live a life of freedom and honesty and fairness. And yet the increase in racism in the UK now is phenomenal. And it's all because of the welfare system that people, quite rightly, they're entitled to, are coming over here and taking advantage of. And yet we can't take advantage of the systems in their country. I think it's a tragedy. I think we've lost Mark for a second. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that I think it is a tragedy that a country, because of the way the border's been set up, from being a fairly liberal-minded country, has started to become racist. I think racism is one of the most destructive things that is in this world. And for somewhere like Paris and France and Britain to be vilifying people because of who they are and the way they choose to live is perhaps one of the most shameful aspects of the world. Have we got you back, Mark? It looks like we haven't, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll carry on by myself. That's a bit harsh, isn't it? The next story I want to talk to you about, I've headlined Ice Cold in Malice, and it's 21 ways to get yourself banned by call centres. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I've done it. I am officially the cold caller's most unwanted. It's been years. And you've all suffered it, the same as me. Years of murderous fury towards that disembodied voice on the phone that phones up and says, "Is that Miss Laybonks? Miss Laybonks?" But I've beaten them. Those irritating, miserable, myopic, moronic, maddening, faceless, fatuous, thoughtless fools who want me to do their stupid surveys or buy their leaky double glazing won't speak to me anymore. I think it's quite incredible. I do. I just very quickly, can I check? See, are you there, Mark? Is anything happening? It would appear not, so I'll carry on.
Don't worry. I am listening to you. I'm with you.
You're with me.
I'm a great support to you.
It's really scary that, you know, when it goes totally silent and you don't know if you're acting like a complete idiot talking to yourself in an empty room, or there's actually somebody there listening.
I'm listening all the time.
Oh, you're so wonderful. I'm listening to you too now. But anyway, do you tell us this before we move on, Petra? Do you have cold callers on the telephones in Slovakia?
What do you mean by cold callers?
I take it then that means that you don't. Basically, what happens in England, I averaged about 15 calls a day from people representing companies who were trying to sell you things that you didn't really want.
Oh, yeah, we have them.
How many days do you get?
Well, no, I certainly don't get them every day, but I would say maybe 5 times a month. And you just keep saying, "No, I'm not interested." And they still keep calling. It's annoying.
Well, that's it. Well, I honestly can say that we get 15 a day on average. Probably some people get more. And there is something called the Telephone Preference Service, which is there to stop them phoning you up. Well, the Telephone Preference Service in England doesn't make any difference. It doesn't really stop them. They just carry on. And it's a strange thing. And what we've done is we've come up with the top 10 ideas of how to get rid of these people. I find it really annoying. When these callers phone you up, what, say once a week you get a call, are you pleased that these people phone you up, Petra?
No. I'm always, I used to be at the beginning wondering where they've got my number from.
Yeah.
But what I realize, the way they do it here, they ask you to come for some like presentation. And then if you attend it, you get a present. But to get the present, you need to give them, say, 5 new phone numbers of your friends or family.
Really?
And that's how they get in the numbers. And they never tell you who gave them the number. So I'm always annoyed. Oh. Who the hell gave them my number?
So the whole thing at the moment, you see, basically in England, somebody like British Telecom will have a list of telephone numbers, and one way or the other, these call centres will actually avail themselves of that list and will have basically everybody's number in the UK to phone up and to try and sell to. I had an example. Listen to this, Petra, and see if you can believe this actually happening in Slovakia, right? This is the truth. I'm not going to name the company because we're actually going to name them next week. We have somebody investigating them at the moment. But it's a wellness centre. It's what in Britain's called a wellness centre. And that's nothing to do with holes in the ground filled with water. That is to do with being well, feeling good. And this wellness centre, this good-feeling community centre, phones you up, and this was their opening gambit to me. This was on Tuesday of this week. This is what they said. They said, "Hello, Mr. Banks. We are representing the such and such wellness centre. We'd like to inquire about your health." I thought, you what? You want to inquire about? That's very kind of you. How are you? And they didn't. What they were asking me was, did I have any major ailments? Did I have any problems? Now, I said to them, you tell me about yours and I might tell you about mine, which he wasn't very pleased about, and actually said that I was wasting his time. The caller actually said I was wasting his time. I explained to him, actually, no, you're wasting my time. I didn't invite you to call me. You just called up out of the blue and started to inquire about my health. Now, I'm fairly robust, like Petra knows. I'm quite tough and quite strong, and I suffer from ill health. But a lot of people like to talk about their health. And people will tell these people about, oh, I've got a bad heart, I've got athlete's foot, I've got all these things. And do you know what he said to me?
No.
He said that he would, not diagnose was not the word that he used, but it's exactly what he meant. He meant diagnose. And he would diagnose my problems and he would recommend the products that they sell, which are health supplements, that would help improve my health. I think that is despicable. What would happen if that happened in Slovakia, Petra? Do you know? Would you ever experience anything like that in Slovakia?
Well, it wasn't exactly the same phone call, but we usually get a phone call and they ask you if you attend regularly, like once a year, your checkups at the GP or...
Right.
And they... you know, give you all sorts of questions. And I'm like, okay, but why do you ask in this? And you never get a straight
exactly.
answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
sorry,
exactly...
Sorry, personal conversation. Shall I just go away?
Hello.
Hello.
Where have you been?
Well, I don't know, but what checkups are this we talking about? I mean, I think it's about
personal
time for my checkups.
Don't be so nosy.
Well, you disappeared, so we are having a nice chat.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot about the listeners. Me and Petra have just been having a chat.
All right.
Now, I'll fill you in very briefly about what we're talking about, a call centres. And I was saying that a call centre phoned me up this week on Tuesday and asked about my health. It's got a long story short because we've just done it with the... Yeah, they asked about my health and they said that they would recommend products that would improve my health. Now, I said, what medical qualifications have you got to actually approach somebody on the phone out of the blue and ask about their health problems? And then why do you feel that you can recommend things that would improve their health? This is a company which we're going to name next week. We've got somebody working on them at the moment, oh. and we're going
to
name them. They are... Pardon?
I'd be interested to hear about it. That sounds amazing.
I did it again. I said pardon.
Oh,
you've never been pardoned so much in your life, have you?
So you don't want a free pardon. And you're getting this problem as well, Petra?
Yes.
Petra's saying they get something very similar, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, not as often as Lee gets it in the UK, but yes, we do get them. They're pretty annoying.
Well, how do you feel about that, Mark? You're quite legally minded. How do you think it is right and legal that a company should be able to phone up, inquire about your health, and then recommend their own products that they say will help improve your health?
I don't know if it's legal at all, but I mean, I think that just morally and sort of socially, I just find it's unacceptable. I'd really be outraged. I mean,
yeah.
We get lots of cold calling in France, I can tell you. And I mean,
do you?
I just start giving some English expletives, but I didn't know that this happened in England as well. You know, how do they get my data? What's going on here? I think it's I think these kind of things are a bit out of control, actually.
I think they are completely, and for them to be doing that, we've got loads of what we're looking at doing is investigating a lot of them, and I've got a young lady working on that at the moment. What we're doing is looking at how to get rid of cold callers. Why? I'll just repeat this for Mark very quickly. I was insulted by, or was attacked by a cold caller who accused me of wasting his time.
Yeah.
How can I be wasting his time?
Yeah, amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Here we have the top five ways of getting rid of cold callers, right?
Yeah.
Number five, we have, hang on a minute, what you have to do is put the phone down and leave the line open. It takes them ages to catch on and get rid of it.
And let me say that you know, I think that's a great idea because, although I feel sorry for these people to a certain extent because they've got to make a living, but it's a real nuisance. They have targets, and the more you waste their time, then the more uncomfortable it becomes for them. So I think that's a great one. What's number
four? That's right. Number four is ex-con them. I heard, and I've tried this, and it really works, right? If somebody gets on the phone and is trying to sell you something, tell them to phone back after 7 p.m. because your ankle tag, right, will be in and that you have to be in because of your ASBO. They won't phone you back, and they won't try and sell you anything then, I tell you.
I don't believe so.
And number three, right, is child's play. Just get a kid. If you've got a kid in your house, I'll go and borrow one off your neighbour, right? Put them on the phone because children love to chat and they talk to that cold call seller for hours and hours. And how churlish would it be for the cold call seller to hang up on a child? And
they don't have any problems about it. But anyway.
They're evil. Right, there's another one. Number two, right? Thank the cold caller for ringing, confirm that the call is important to you, and offer a menu of options. They ain't going to go through that. And the other thing is, I did this only 2 weeks ago, right? We got a double glazing salesman phoned up, and he would not even get off the phone. All he was trying to do was get into my house. I just said to him right up front, I said, well, actually, you're quite right. It's a good job you called. I need 223 windows, please. Can you sort it out for me? He just hung up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I think if one really wanted to have a crack at these people, then the thing to do really is probably to make an appointment and then just not be there.
That's all.
I mean, you know, we're getting very, very nasty here, okay? But, you know, you start to cost the company money. And at the end of the day, you know, maybe enough of that, they'll back off. So I think that there's, you know, that adds a sort of sixth, okay? And that is swing them along, make an appointment, and then just be out.
I think that's a terrible thing to suggest that the ladies.
I think it's a vicious thing because, you know, once again, you know, I'm very sorry, but the cold callers and the people who come on trying to actually then make the sale, I suppose they've got their families to look after and so forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, well, it's an uneasy balance in my mind, but I don't like it and I want them to go away. Let me give you another way, incidentally, and I think I've mentioned this on a previous program. There is a call management and call recording system called Truecall.
Yeah.
You can get from Amazon for about 100 quid. It's quite a luxury item in terms of call
recorders. 100 quid? Why should you have to pay out £100 to stop people phoning you up who you don't want to talk to?
Absolutely. I quite agree, you know, but maybe one has to sort of take these in. But, I mean, on the Consumer Action Group, you know, we often find people who have become frightened to use their own telephone. So they're paying their phone bills and all this sort of thing. They never dare pick them up for fear, and they buy a Truecall, they install a Truecall, and we get letters saying, thank you, for the first time I've taken back possession of my phone, my telephone, I'm able to use it, I'm not frightened of the people who call me. And the way it works is by registering the numbers that call you. If it's a withheld number, then you can set it not to answer, or you can set it to simply to give a message back saying, you know, that I will answer once you release your number. If it is a number that you don't want, then you zap it. It goes into the memory and it won't answer from the memory again. It's a phenomenal thing, and also it will record every call, which, believe me, can be so useful when you're dealing with people like banks, debt collectors, all of these, you know, the nasty life that we find at the bottom of our ponds. So there's another way. It costs a bit of money, but It's very, very legit.
Don't spend money. That's a ridiculous thing to have to do. I think actually, to be fair, Mark's advice is spot on. But my own personal advice on that sort of thing is, why spend money on these people? Just take the mickey out of them until they get so angry with you, they hang up and go away and disturb somebody else.
Well, the trouble is that you're dealing with hundreds and thousands of these people and hundreds of companies. Yeah. And at the end, I think it just probably just gets too much, you know. When they phone, maybe your neighbor's there, maybe you're entertaining, maybe you've got your children there, you know, and you're having to put up with these either cold calling or these attacking calls. And I think at the end of the day, it may be £100, but if it buys you the peace of mind and puts you back in control of your life and your telephone system, it's not such a bad thing.
I suppose what you're saying is right. I suppose to do it my way, you've got to be fairly adversarial, and I'm fairly adversarial with these people.
Yeah.
If they've got the cheek to phone me up, then really, to me, it's like open season on call centres. If they think that they can waste my time and insult me for wasting their time by phoning me up, I think it is open season, and if I can shoot them out of the water, I will. Let's move on, Mark, because we're running out of time. What about this holiday maker who was left £27,000 in debt after mobile phone company Orange took £120 an hour out of her account for a week?
Well, that's absolutely amazing. Tell us more about it, because I'm still trying to catch up since my glitched out. I don't know if you explained to you, since my credit ran out.
There was Anne Roberts. She was on holiday. She was having a lovely time. She went to her hole-in-the-wall machine and I'd noticed that NatWest had repeatedly taken funds out of her account after she spent £20 on pay-as-you-go while she was holidaying in Wales. So she wasn't even out of the country. And what happened? A technical blip meant that Orange had been withdrawing £20.49 from her account every 10 minutes since she bought it.
Yeah.
792 times they took the money out.
Was this an Orange blip or a NatWest blip?
I think it's an Orange blip, yeah.
Right.
Orange have apologised and said they'd refund the money to her. Well, that's fine, but what if she hadn't caught on? What if she thought, I got a bit drunk last night, I didn't realise I'd spent £27,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. Anyway, Orange have done it straight and put it right.
Well, they should have done. But can I just tell you what the answer here is really here, and that is that your bank has a responsibility to put it right and to refund you immediately, regardless of Orange. I don't know how long it took her to reason with Orange.
That's an interesting point.
But under the present regulations, the Payment Services Directive, the bank has a duty to refund the money immediately, even though they might suspect maybe there's a fraud. That's tough for them. They make their investigation, but on their time, unless they've got absolute proof immediately that you're involved in some fraud or in some negligence, they have a duty to refund the money immediately. Do they do this?
No.
No, they do not.
Well, I didn't know
that's
true.
Because they habitually ignore the... Yeah.
Here's a very quick one for you, Mark, because we're going to move on quickly because we've got a few things to get through. This happened to me yesterday, right? I have an account which has a small fee on it. I can't remember, a couple of quid on it every month for having the account. Not because I'm overdrawn or anything. It's just a fee on the account. I don't even know why I've got it. I don't even use the account. Anyway, I got a letter off them yesterday. That account had gone overdrawn by £1. £1. That's what it got overdrawn by. And that's because they've been taking the fees out because I'd forgotten about the account and hadn't got any money in it. So it went overdrawn by £1. They charged me £36 for doing that. Yeah. And how does that work? I've got the money back, obviously, because I'm not stupid. I know how to get it back. Well, a lot of people would just give up and let it go ahead. How can they do that, Mark? That's 30,000%, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's absolutely outrageous, okay? And I mean, you know, in 2009, there was a test case to test whether or not these charges were unfair, and the Supreme Court said that it doesn't matter whether they're unfair or not. It's not relevant because this is their business. Their business, they make something like 30% of their current account profit by these charges, and because of that, they can charge what they want. Since then,
really?
There have been new regulations in place which say banks have to act fairly towards you. They've got a statutory duty to act fairly to you. towards you. And I've been spending a lot of time in the Consumer Action Group trying to persuade one or two brave-hearted people, and I don't think it needs a lot of effort, simply to sue their bank under these regulations, these FSA regulations. Yeah. And so far, nobody has jumped up and taken the bait. I think the charges are unfair. I think they're illegal. And I think it's a question of having somebody who's prepared to take an action against their bank for the money and to prove to everybody it's illegal. Believe me, the bank would be apoplectic.
All right.
Of course, I think the if you want to do it as a journalist exercise, then I'll lead you through it. It would
let's
be great fun
mark.
And great sport.
Any listener now who's having a problem with the bank, all the bank charges, get in touch with us, and I guarantee that Mark and I will hold your hand through the process see where we can get to with them. Hey, how's that?
And it will be risk-free.
Absolutely. That is a very good point. Yeah. We will do it with no pain for you. But you'll have to do it yourself. We'll just be there in the background guiding you and showing you what to do. But yeah, absolutely. We can win. Let's move on anyway, because something that really, really shocks me, I think is absolutely despicable, is the fact that what's been happening to Gary Barlow. Poor old Gary Barlow. I have no great love for him, his music or his job. His wife to have given birth to a stillborn child is awful. And for a Big Brother contestant, Kenneth Tong, to send vile tweets out to Gary's
Well. Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, you have to be a bit ill to do that kind of thing.
I think he does. I think this man is sick, and I think that's fine. Let's move on really quick because we ain't got much time left. Just a thong at twilight. Amazing story about Chilli Beach in Australia. Incredibly, 4,500 thongs have appeared on the beach. That's amazing. What's been going on there then?
Where is Chilli Beach?
I've just said it's in Australia. I have no idea really, but I just put it in Australia because I couldn't find out where it was in the first place.
Are they?
It is in Australia. I guess right. It's in Australia.
Were these tongs, you know, being worn at the time, or were they just
empty?
No,
they were. Well, they were discarded thongs. That's what makes.
Well, in that case, I want to see where the owners are immediately.
And then there's a hot seat. A Kentucky man is under fire after he lit a gas station toilet seat. So he set it on fire, allegedly for religious reasons. That's James Crittenden. 36. He says, I did it on purpose because I'm a religious man. Then there's radioactive art. They've turned radioactive ants into art in somewhere in... That's in Australia as well. What's up with Australia? And what about this bloke in... not Australia. In Waterstones in Manchester. He got banned from the shop because he moved all the caution wet floor signs around the 50 grey shades of grey shelf. That is disgusting. That is terrible. And then the head of the Somali Olympic squad has apologised to officials on behalf of their team after realising that the shooting and sailing events were two separate things in the Olympics. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We have finished. Postcard from Bob Rad from the two orphans while Eric's running around the chat. Trap. Whatever that word is. Bye-bye, everybody. Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, Mark. Oh, sorry. Goodbye, Petra.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Petra. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye, world.
Radio Tatras International, from the heart of Europe to the world.